transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you may find in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and likewise of Luke. We find that the chapter in Matthew begins, after 6 days, the Lord Jesus Christ took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and took them apart and went up on a high mountain. After 6 days, in one of the Gospels it says, about 8 days, it appears that the Lord Jesus Christ had had a solemn discourse with his disciples about him coming in the glory of his Father and judging the world in righteousness, when he would reward every man according to what he had done, be it good or be it evil. That after this solemn discourse, nothing seems to have taken place for 6 days, for nothing is recorded of what Jesus spake or what he did in these 6 days. But then we read that he took these three disciples with him up on a high mountain. What this mountain was, whether it was Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, is a question. The commentators do not agree on this. But this teaches us that if we wish to have communion and fellowship with God, then we likewise must separate ourselves from the world in all worldly business and conversation. Here we have Jesus taking these three disciples up on the mountain. It pleases the Lord Jesus Christ yet to take some of his disciples away from everything here below and to lead them to himself. That is what he did with these three disciples. These other disciples were left at the bottom of the mountain. These three were the prominent three disciples. Probably they were the chiefest of them all. In all probabilities, they had more grace and more gifts given unto them from the Lord than the other disciples had. The Lord still does that today. There are some of his dear children, and I do wish that you and I were one of them, that he takes them apart and he separates them and he gives them much communion and much fellowship with himself, and he reveals unto them the secrets of his love and of his covenant. We find very few Christians today experiencing something like this. Very few have communion and fellowship with God. Very few feel an urge inwardly to get alone and feel that the Lord wants to speak to them and that he wants to tell them something. Have you ever had such a feeling? Have you ever had such a desire? There may have been a time in your life when you did go alone and did seek the Lord's face and did enjoy something of it. But at this present time I'm speaking, how seldom it is that we find Christians lively and enjoying much of the countenance of their Lord and Savior. Now, these disciples were privileged to go up on the mountain. You know, it says in Luke, in the 9th chapter, that the Lord Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. He went up and took his three disciples with him. Have you ever went alone to pray? Well, the Lord commends us to separate ourselves when we are to pray, that we should go into our closet or into our room and shut the door behind us. The Lord Jesus made an example of this even to his disciples, and he went up on this mountain to pray. And now when he was up on this mountain, we find that the fashion of his countenance was changed, that his face began to shine like the sun, and his raiment became white and glistening. That we find then that Jesus, who came in the form of a servant, who was manifested in the flesh, and with whom his disciples walked around and communed, that he took them apart now, and he began to show them something of his glory. He began to show them that he was God and man in one person. And we find that he was completely radiated with light. You know, God is light. He dwells in a light that's inaccessible to any one of us. And when Christ was going to manifest his glory, he manifested himself in light. The beams of light shined off his face. The sun, of course, is something that you and I can't look at. And that's the way his face became. It shined like the sun. And his whole body was radiated with light. That even the clothes that he had on was changed. And it all became light. The beams of light shot through his body and through his clothes and lighted up himself completely. Oh, what a wonderful transfiguration this was. And these disciples were privileged to see this. Oh, how wonderful it must have been for these disciples to see their master, their Lord, actually changed in such a wonderful way. They had here the full assurance that he was God and man, that he was the Savior, that he was the Messiah. Had they but been weak in faith before, at this present time, they had a glimpse of his glory, and all this that they doubted and feared was taken away, and they seen him actually as he was, God and man in one person. He veiled himself in the body of flesh, and he took this veil away, and he discovered himself in this manner unto his disciples. And these disciples, they were on this mount with him, and as they were on this mount, we find that they seen this. What a wonderful sight. And Peter, he was so carried away with this sight and so filled with joy and amazement that the Lord Jesus had taken him up on this mountain and given to see something like this, that he says, Lord, he says, it's good to be here. He says, let us make tabernacles for you and for Moses and for Elias. We find then that there was two glorified saints in this glorious light, speaking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This we have that we see in this, that saints that die in Christ do not perish, that they live in a separate state. Here is Moses and here is Elijah. Moses, he was a man that had been up on the mount himself 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down from the mount, his face shone too. And the people of Israel, they had to hang a veil in the front of his face for the glory that was upon him. But the face of Christ shone much brighter than Moses ever had done. And now these men, Moses and Elijah, they were eminent men. Moses, he was that person through whom God gave the law unto Israel. He's called the lawgiver. And Elijah, he was one of the greatest prophets that had been here upon earth. And we know from Scripture that Elijah, he went to heaven in a whirlwind. He went bodily to heaven. He was carried up there by. But Moses, we know that God called him up on the mount. And Moses died on the mount, and God buried him. We are sure that Elijah appeared in his glorified body. But how Moses appeared is no subject for me and you to enter into, for it is a mystery. It is concealed from us. And now we find that these saints that were on this mount with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were speaking unto Christ about what was going to take place in Jerusalem. They were speaking about the coming sufferings and of his death and of his glorification and of his arising from the dead. They were speaking then to Christ about these matters. And now as they were talking to Christ about these matters, why is these disciples, they were listening to the conversation, which teaches us again that if we are privileged to enter into heaven, the saints will know each other. For they knew Moses and they knew Elijah. How that they knew them, commentary says, probably because they heard the conversation between Christ and these men. Or otherwise, Christ informed them and told them who they were. Although Scripture does not give us anything on this. But still we know from Peter speaking in this manner, let us build tabernacles for thee and for Moses and for Elijah, that Peter knew him. and the other disciples likewise. Now Peter then, he was enraptured in this state in which he was in, and he said, it is good to be here. You know, no matter where you may meet Christ, be it on a mountain, be it in a church, be it in a field, be it in a closet, wherever it may be, even at your work, it's good to be there. It's good to be where Christ is. Has he ever met with you? Have you ever had a visit of him? And then you will seek again and again to have a witness and a visit of his blessed spirit in your soul. These disciples, they were carried away with what they saw. In one of the Gospels we read that they were heavy with sleep. This particular commentary says that they climbed up this mountain and they were weary, and therefore they were heavy with sleep. Another commentary says that probably they were so absorbed in the vision that they had and so stunned with it that they could hardly look upon it. It was good for them to be there, so good that Peter wanted to remain there. He had heard the conversation that was going on and that Jesus would have to suffer and die, and he was reluctant himself to go down again and suffer and go through what he had been going through. Oh, it would have been better to stay on this mountain, die there. But that wouldn't have been no good, because the Lord Jesus Christ had come to die for sinners, and especially even for Peter, and his soul was not saved yet. Christ had not offered himself as a sacrifice, and for them to stay there, the work would have been incomplete. Furthermore, God had a special work for Peter to do. He was an apostle. He was to go forward and to witness of what he now seen, and also to speak and to preach the gospel of grace to sinners far and wide. But we can understand Peter, if ever you have had something of a vision of Christ, a meeting with Christ, then you have said too, oh, it's good to be here. You try to keep it, you try to hold it, but it don't stay long. It soon disappears, the feelings and the faith and the hope and the love that's in exercise at that time seems to dwindle away. But while it's there, there's nothing sweeter, my hearers, if you ever had it. Yes, some of God's dear children have been in that state, and they've wished that they died in that state. They believed that they would have went to heaven then. Oh, they didn't want to leave him. They didn't want to go away from it. They wanted to enjoy it and so enter into heaven. What a blessing, my hearers, if you have something like this in this life. These disciples, they had something that these other disciples did not have. They were privileged beyond the other ones to see something like this. They were the chiefest of the disciples. The Lord Jesus took them likewise with him when he went into the Jairus' daughter and raised her from the dead. They were privileged again when the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. These three disciples were taken in with him, and they were given to see something of his agony, where the other ones were not privileged to see these things. You see, God does things with his people that he does not do with others. And sometimes some of his dear children, they enjoy much more than others do in this life of his presence and of his love and mercy in their hearts. And now these disciples, while they're here on this mountain, we find that a cloud came. And as they entered into this cloud, a voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Lord, in the Old Testament dispensation, revealed himself many times in a cloud. When he gave the law on Mount Sinai, he came down in a cloud, a dark, thick cloud. It enveloped the whole mountain. There was thunder, there was lightning. The mountain shook, and the voice came out of the cloud and gave the law unto Israel. The people that were around this mountain, they trembled, they shook, they were afraid. They dared not touch the mountain because Moses had warned them if they as much as touched it, they would die. You know, my hearers, the Jewish people, they had a saying that no person could ever see God or he surely would die. You know, when Manoah and his wife had a vision and had a visit of God by an angel, and the angel spake unto Manoah's wife that she was going to have a child and what they should do with that child, then Manoah, he was so afraid, he says, "We're not going to live," he says to his wife, because he says, "God has spoken unto us." The Jews had this feeling that if ever God spake to them, then surely they would die. And you know, ever since man fell away from God in paradise, and God spake unto Adam, whenever God speaks to sinners, sinners tremble. Sinners are filled with fear because they know that they are at enmity with God. They are guilty in his sight. And they fear the voice that comes out of heaven. They fear that they shall be consumed. And now these disciples, this cloud covered the mountain. The Lord manifested himself many times in the Old Testament times by coming down and visiting his people in a cloud. He spake to Moses, as you know, at the tabernacle door from a cloud. When Moses had completed the tabernacle and had built it according to the specifications that God had given him, the Lord descended into the tabernacle with a cloud. He filled its presence with the cloud. And likewise, he went before the children of Israel in a cloud, a cloudy pillar. They watched this cloud, and when it went, they went. Likewise, after Solomon had built the temple to Jerusalem, then God descended in a cloud. Under the Old Testament dispensation, it pleased God to come down in dark clouds, which teaches us that the Old Testament dispensation was a dispensation of darkness, of ignorance, and of terror, and of amazement. But here we have a bright cloud, a shiny cloud. And this cloud came down upon this mountain, and these disciples, they were enveloped in it. And as this cloud came, there came this voice. And when they heard this voice, they fell down to the ground, stunned. They were filled with fear. They were afraid when they heard this voice. My hearers, these disciples, lying on the ground and hearing this voice, were trembling, wondering who this was that was speaking out of the cloud. It was none other but God the Father that was speaking. He spake with an audible voice that these disciples heard it. It was a voice that was intended to comfort them, to encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith concerning Jesus. For he said unto them, "This is my beloved Son." Did you ever doubt before that he was my Son? Hear me. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." It was God that spake. The voice of the excellent majesty came from heaven and gave honor and witness to him who was here upon this mount so transfigured before them. There was no reason why they ever should doubt that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, because God himself witnessed from heaven here on this mount before them. The Lord had spoken likewise at the time when Jesus was baptized. Then there came this same voice and the very same words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, my hearers, what a mercy it was for these disciples on this mountain to see such a glorious vision and to hear such a wonderful voice. Wouldn't you like to be up on a mountain like that? Wouldn't you have liked to see something like this? God don't give such sights today, my hearers. This was a visible sight. They saw him with their own eyes, and they heard him by an audible voice with their own ears. Such things don't happen today. The Lord speaks to us by his word and by his spirit. These disciples, They were filled with fear. They should have never been filled with fear. They should have never been afraid. This was cause for their joy. This was cause for them that their faith was strengthened. But they made themselves afraid. It wasn't God that filled them with fear. They made themselves afraid. They fell down, afraid. And when they heard this voice, this voice spake unto them and said, "Hear ye him." They were then to listen to the voice of Christ. You know, my sheep hear my voice. And they are the only ones that hear his voice. And they were his sheep. And they were to listen to his voice. They were to be obedient to his voice. And they were to believe in him. And they were duty-bound to glorify him and to exalt him. But this is why this voice came from heaven. It did not come for Christ, but it came for the disciples. But it was honor upon Christ when God the Father witnessed from heaven for him before his three disciples. And these disciples, they're lying on the ground. This vision is going on at this present time. And now the Lord sent this cloud likewise so that these poor disciples, they were in the flesh. And God knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. There isn't any human being that can view God. We would perish immediately. And God covered now this sight with the cloud. He had pity, he had compassion upon these disciples. Because the sight would have overwhelmed them. It would have consumed them. Therefore, this cloud came likewise. And now these disciples, lying on the ground filled with fear, we find that Jesus, he came unto them. And he spake unto them. And he said, "Arise, be not afraid." They had heard the Father speak, "Hear ye him." And the first words that he spake unto them after they had heard this voice was words of comfort, words which were so applicable for their condition. There they lay afraid, filled with fear. And the Lord Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." Oh, my hearers, have you ever been afraid in your life? I don't think there's one sitting here that can say that they never were. We've been afraid of something in our lives sometimes. But have you ever been afraid spiritually? Afraid that everything was wrong? Afraid that you deceived yourself? Afraid that when the time came, you were going to suffer eternal punishment in hell? Afraid that God was not your friend? That Jesus was not your Savior? Afraid because the devil came in and told you that you were deceiving yourself and that you were all wrong and that you would be with him when you came to die and you would not be in that place where you thought you were going to go, where you longed to go, where you were praying for to go? Oh, my hearers, I don't know if you've ever been afraid, but if you have been, you didn't know what to do with yourself. And when you are brought to a crisis in this respect, then it is that Jesus comes. Then it is that Jesus puts his hand upon us. He put his hand upon the disciples. And he spake unto them, "Be not afraid." I am sure that all their fears was immediately taken away. They were immediately given to arise. Have you ever experienced something like that? He laid his hands upon so many when he was here below. He put his hands upon so many that were sick, that were afflicted, that were blind, and those even that were dead, he put his hand upon them, and he raised them up. All my hearers, his touches, they are reviving, they are strengthening, they are very comforting. Has he ever touched you? Touched you under the means of grace? Touched you when you were on your knees? Touched you when you were reading the Bible? Touched you when you were walking in your work or something? Immediately you felt the presence of him. And you heard what? A still small voice speaking unto you. Oh, that voice. Oh, I'd give all the world to hear that voice again and again, my hearers. That voice thrills through the souls of God's dear children. That's the voice of their beloved. They know that voice. That's the voice that they're listening for. And this voice came to the disciples. Be not afraid. Has it ever come to you? Has the Lord ever said to you, fear not. I am with thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. Oh, how encouraging, my hearers, when you are filled with fear to have the Lord Jesus come with a fear not. Oh, my hearers, I'd give all the world for one of those fear nots. I think every one of God's children would do the same thing, because that means that he loves us, that he's thinking about us. Oh, what a wonder it is when he speaks to us. How seldom we hear his voice today. Now, these disciples were privileged to have the Lord Jesus lay their hand upon them, and they immediately arose. And when they opened their eyes, it says, they saw only Jesus. They saw not this vision anymore. Moses and Elijah were gone. The brightness, the glory that they had been looking upon was gone too. And they saw nothing but Jesus only. This teaches us, my hearers, that God may take you aside. He may give you likewise such visions and such light and such comforting words, and it may be so sweet and so good there, but it does not last. The vision is taken away. We're not going to have two heavens. You're going to enjoy something of heaven here, and if you don't hear, you'll never enjoy it hereafter. But that little of heaven that sets our soul desiring to be where we would enjoy it to the full. And these disciples, they saw nothing but Jesus only. Why, he's a sight well seen, my hearers. If we only but see him, then all is well. But most of the time we see everything else but Jesus. We see our sin, we see our guilt, we see nothing else but reasons why he should condemn us. We see our backward backslidings, the life that we have led. When we look back, oh my, we tremble at times. Because we see not Jesus. But if we see him, then all is well. They saw him. Oh, for a sight of him, many a soul has said. And now these disciples, they immediately started to come down off this mount with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spake unto them and said unto them that they should reveal nothing of what they had seen on this mount until he had died and rose again. They were not permitted then to make this known even unto their fellow disciples. This seems to be something that was just for them. It was given to them and for them only, for the strengthening of their faith. And they were not to say anything about this vision until after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. These things teach us likewise, that if God gives us something, something that others have not had, then sometimes we make a God of what God has given us. Oh, we wish to tell everybody. We wish to speak to everybody about what God has shown unto us. Surely it's good to glorify God. But we are in it so quick ourselves that we mean nothing else but ourselves with the vision, that we have forgotten him who has given us this. These disciples were not permitted to speak about this. They couldn't understand why not. Because they said that Elias who was to come had not yet come. How come then that the scribes and the Pharisees say that Elias must first come? The Lord Jesus says he is come, and they have done unto him as they have seen fit, and they will do likewise unto the Son of Man as they have done unto him. And they thought that Elijah, who they seen over there, must come again. It was prophesied in Malachi, before that great and notable day of the Lord come, then Elijah would come. But now the Lord Jesus makes it clear and plain that by Elias we must understand John the Baptist, that he had come, and they had done unto him what they likewise would do unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemies had taken him and had killed him and slain him, and they would do the same thing to Christ. And therefore they were not permitted to speak unto the other apostles about this vision that they had had. And now, my hearers, we read in Luke 9 that the Lord Jesus Christ went up on the mountain to pray. In this particular chapter, it says that it was at nighttime. He went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed, and his face became like the sun, and his clothes, they began to glisten. They were so white. Now what took place with the Lord Jesus Christ must take place with you and I, my hearers. He was transformed. He was transfigured. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever went alone and prayed? It's your duty. The Lord Jesus commands us to go alone, close our door, and to kneel down and to pray unto God. I hope that you will be obedient to the many times that I have put this before you as your teacher, to seek God, to go alone, to make it your duty, to separate some time of the day and seek God. And now if you are a child of God, then God has come with his Holy Spirit, and he has poured out upon you the spirit of grace and of supplications. And you have found yourself at times to be nothing but prayer. You have had such a desire to go alone. And when you have been alone on your knees, you likewise have found something of what Jesus experienced. He was transfigured before them. You, who were a sinful creature, who were running the broad road to destruction, who were going as fast as sin could take you to hell, but the Lord stopped you. He brought you on your knees. He brought you to pray to him. Has that taken place with you, my hearers? You have then already been transformed. You have been transfigured in a way. You're not what you were before. What was you before? You were seeking what? Seeking the world, seeking the pleasure of the world, seeking everything that was in the world to satisfy your flesh. And now there came a time when you couldn't go on any longer like that. You became a changed person. It was noticeable on you. Maybe before that you were such a happy-go-lucky fellow or girl. You had a smile on your face for everybody. You had a conversation for everybody. And everybody liked you. Oh, you were such a congenial person. But now, your face became so sober, you became so changed. You didn't have any conversation anymore with anybody. You shunned everybody. You went away from everybody. And you were found on your knees. You were found praying, seeking God. You never did that before, did you? You never had any desire to do that. Now you're there. At different times, they find you there sometimes, even the members of your family. They're wondering what's going on with you. You're so different than what you were before. Is that your case, my hearers? It may have been that you went on your knees in your closet, and as you began to pray, the fashion of your countenance was changed. Such beams of light came down from this glorious Sun of Righteousness upon you, and you found yourself in his immediate presence. Oh, you were so led up above the world, above yourself. Oh, you were brought into such communion and fellowship with this Christ. Oh, my hearers, it was just like with Paul. He was taken up into the third heavens. And he had been given to see visions and things that it was not lawful for a man or a woman to speak about. So God lifts sometimes a praying soul up unto the throne of grace. And oh, what a blessed uplifting this is, my hearers. And oh, how that person's countenance is changed. Why, the beams of heaven are shining down on such a person. And oh, what blessed communion and intercourse they have with God in heaven above. Oh, they are transformed, as the apostle says, as from glory unto glory. Oh, what a blessing this is, my hearers. My time is gone. I would like to go on with this. This is something that I can speak about. This other part, my hearers, that I've been teaching you about is something probably that's very interesting to you. And it is an interesting subject. But this, what I'm talking about now, is experimental. Something that you must experience and know for your own heart and soul, shall it be well with you for eternity. You must be transformed. You must be born again. You must have another life planted in your heart, or you never will see God in glory. You never will be lifted up into heaven above. You never will be given to see something of what these disciples seen upon this mountain. Oh, may God grant unto you this transformation in this life, so that when you come to die, you may be given to enter into that glorious abode, where there'll be no darkness, where there'll be no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no weeping, but everlasting joy and happiness. Oh, a blessed place, my hearers. If ever you're given a sight of that place, you would want to have the wings of a dove and fly away and be at rest. May God grant you this grace and this life. May you know something thereof. This concludes our lesson for today.